The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Hello, podcast world, and we are back after a week of me not having a voice, a week of me being out of town, and laziness, to be honest. So this is our last episode of season one, which is the prayer. So we're doing a recap on all the episodes we did for the entire season. And today I have the pals with me, and one of the pals is girlfriend. She may or may not say anything. Say hi, Emily.
Hi.
Okay. And then we have our podcast supervisor supervising from afar, which is the other pal's girlfriend. Say hi, Jessica.
Hello.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and dive right on in and talk about prayer. And we're going to look at our very first episode, which was done by myself and Robert. And the topic on that one was, why is it so hard to pray? So looking at a recap, we're going to take a look at that. Sorry about that, guys. Technical difficulties here. So let's answer that question again. Why is it so hard to pray, Tim?
It's so hard for us to pray because we get so caught up in everyday life and we just forget to, you know, hey, God, thank you for today. And we just want to, you know, lift up your name and everything. And that's all I have to say. It's just everyday life that, like, gets in the way.
So what do you mean by everyday life getting in the way?
Work, school, kids, if you have kids, marriage, that's just everyday life that I count.
Okay. So you don't think, you know, having prayer is part of your life if you're married a good thing?
I think it is a good thing.
Sorry, I just saw something disgusting. Robert.
Yes.
Why is it so hard to pray, son? Sir?
Maruli.
It's hard to pray from what I like said in our original episode was that it's a common occurrence that most people have a routine. It's not something that they do daily, like go to work, wake up, go to school, eat, get dressed. You know what I'm talking about? It's not part of the routine. Now, most Christians should pray. It should be in their routine. It should be part of their daily routine. When you first wake up, you should praise God that you made it through the night, because it is, like Brandon always tells us, it is a miracle that you woke up, because God can always say, hey, time to come home. Come on. You know what I mean?
Okay. Zoom.
Exactly. Wee! But again, it's hard for people to pray because it's not a daily occurrence thing. It's not something they do all the time. And that's the sad part. Today's society is like that. It's not a routine. People are built routine, because look at, like, when you were in grade school, when you're sitting there, it was a routine, right? You know what school to go, what class to go to, what the assignment was going to be, and what you had to do. And you sat in those perfectly straight lines as a routine every day, same thing over and over again. Did they teach you to pray in school?
No.
They taught you everything else, though, and that's what you do on an everyday basis.
See, I look at it, you know, I'm going to piggyback off of the whole routine deal. You know, we get caught up in being patriotic and saying the pledge. Or singing the national anthem. And I have nothing against those two items, but we put that on a pedestal above actual conversation with God. So prayer could be a routine thing, which I don't like using routine, but if you set aside a certain amount of time every day to pray or to have conversation with the Father, then your prayer life will be enriched, and then your life as a whole would be deeply enriched.
Okay, so I did like this challenge, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. So like for 46 days, I took 10 minutes out my day just to be still and probably, like, you know, ask God what he wants me to do.
It almost sounds like if anybody has heard of the movie Fireproof,
yeah.
There's that challenge, yeah. And I forgot how many days it was.
46.
Is it 46?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 46, that. Yeah. Yeah, it's that book, and it's each day has a different verse, and you do by what that verse says.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. I know on the first episode, one of the things that Robert and I looked at was we looked at Ian Bounds, and if you guys are familiar with Ian Bounds, he wrote a book called The Power Through Prayer, and I actually finished reading it 2 weeks ago, and I have to return it to my pastor. He hasn't asked for it yet, so I'm, I may or may not return it. But in the very beginning of the book, Ian Bounds tells us that, you know, power through prayer is something. He says that what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more, and no novel methods, but men who are really phone.
Time's up.
Okay, so let me try that again. He said that what churches need today is not more machinery or better, not more organizations or more, and novel methods, but men who whom the Holy Ghost can use, men through prayer, men mighty in prayer. And I'm gonna stop there because that's important as Christian men, or as men. When I say men, I mean the human race. We're supposed to constantly be in connection with the Father. It's like I don't want to say like a friendship, but you know, Robert, you and I are good friends. Tim and I are not good friends. Okay, so we're not going to build our relationship because we hate each other. But Robert and I,
for the listeners, they're just giving examples. It's not the truth.
Disclaimer. Don't even comment.
Okay, so. So we're going to work at our relationship as much as we can to stay and remain friends. Same as Timothy and Emily are going to work at their relationship to stay as a couple. Same as you and Jessica. I have nobody, so I don't have to worry about that. But hallelujah. But so if we don't pray constantly, and if we don't, you know, try to get across the difficulties of praying, we're going to fail at every opportunity we get when it comes to making contact with the Father.
I think I said it best in our episode, is that your contact with the Father is also Him wanting to know your day-to-day life. Yes, and we all know that God knows your day-to-day life. He knows what's going to be the future. He knows the past, the present. We know that. We all know that for a fact. As Christians, we know He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's been there from the beginning of time to the end of time, and He'll be there even beyond that,
right.
Eternity. So He knows everything. But He still likes to know what you feel, how you feel. Because He did give us what we like to say. A lot of people say free choice, but it's not choice. It's that free will He gave us. Now, He still likes to hear you. He likes to hear how you've been. It's kind of like I told you in our podcast a while back on that episode. It's like writing a letter to a loved one. They like to hear how you're doing. Like, I ain't gonna lie, when I receive letters from, you know, my family, I like to hear how they're doing. My aunt in California does that. She'll write, I think it's like a 6-page essay, basically, about how she's doing, her husband's doing, the kids, how the family's doing over there, what's happened in the past year. It's kind of like what God is. He likes to hear how, you know, your life is going.
Interesting. Want to add to that, Tim?
No, it's just, I agree with Robert. You know, God is a jealous God. Yeah, He is. He always wants to know what's like what you're doing, even though that He knows. It's pretty much what Robert just said, and that's what I want to continue with.
And the prayer is connection with Him.
The prayer.
Okay. So the second episode we did was episode 2. What is prayer? So I want you guys to give me your definition of what is prayer, and then we're going to take a look at what our co-host Mike Galotto has to say about that.
What is prayer in my eyes is that prayer is, again, that direct contact to God. It's that one-on-one time, that alone time. Most people have like prayer closets or silent areas where they can have that one-on-one time with God and talk about anything they want, from forgiveness to just saying, thank you, God, for allowing me to live today and how glorious you are and how you treat me and love me and just as much as I love you and I want to worship you for the rest of the days of my life. It's just that one-on-one contact with God, just to say either request because you need help in life, to help overcome an obstacle, ask for the strength and courage to overcome it, or someone's hurting your family, you're asking for them to be healed, or if you're having, I guess, personal financial problems, ask to help, you know, give someone the soften their heart to allow you to get a job. It's a lot of things prayer can be used for, but mainly what prayer is in my eyes, like I said, is that one-on-one contact with God to talk to him about any of your needs, because it says, if you come to me, you ask, you shall receive.
Okay. That's good. What prayer means to me is pretty much what Robert said, is the one-on-one
come on,
relationship.
What is it in your heart, to yourself? What do you think prayer is?
Prayer is just the one-on-one time that I have, like, on my way to work. It's a 30-minute drive, so I'm just praying as I'm going to work, and that's all I got. That's all I got.
I ain't got nothing.
No, I'm going to take a look at James chapter 5. I don't even need the Bible. I actually know the verse. James chapter 5, 17 basically states that the prayer of the righteous man.
Hold up. Did you say basically states? Don't use the word basically.
Don't tell me what word choice I should use. because I'm trying to do this from memory and you just screwed me up. James chapter 5, 17 says that the prayer of the righteous man. Now I got to go look it up. Thanks a lot, Maruli.
Maruli! That was loud.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's Robert.
When you mess up, it's Maruli.
I'm glad this is all going to get cut out.
Nope. Yes. Okay, so James 5:17 states that the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, you know, although we're sinful in nature, when we confess and we ask for God's forgiveness, he then turns his ear to us and he listens to us. You know, so whenever you look at the book of James, and I've said this before, that I see the book of James as the book of correction to the church. And it also calls the people of that time and us today back to what is the key, you know, so prayer. We have to be in direct contact with God. If we're not, then we end up, James 5:17. I'm pretty sure I got the passage right. Prayer to me is that time I have alone with the Father. And if I don't harvest that time and utilize that time, then I end up shifting away. And you could tell that I haven't been praying because I'm cranky. I leave notes. and I could be pretty salty at times. So that's what prayer is for me. Emily, you want to weigh on that question?
At Salvation Army.
Prayer in my eyes is like, whenever I pray, I talk to God and I basically just tell him, you know, like how my day is going. And basically my prayer consists of thanking him for everything that is going well in my life and asking him for help in areas that I need in my life. And I think that it kind of helps you grow more as like a family with God in a way, whenever you just tell him everything and you don't just go pray to him because something's going bad in your life and you need him to fix things, because that's what you hear. Like, that's not the only thing that God is there for. He's there for more than just that, and I just felt a need to say that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He's there for everything.
Yeah, people forget that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he is everywhere at the same time. You know, he is not subject to space, time, or matter. So whenever he, you know, commands something, he's doing it on his time, and our time doesn't always line up. So people will pray, oh, well, I'm praying for healing for so-and-so. Okay, well, that prayer could be answered if the person, you know, I hate to say it, passes away. You know, we're praying for healing. Well, the best way to be healed is to be with the Father. Am I right? Am I wrong? I mean, that's what I think. What's prayer? I'm going to share something from Ian Bounds' book, Power Through Prayer. Chapter 7, and I should have highlighted it because now I'm going to have to go look for it. Chapter 7 says that early I will seek thee. And I think it's in the first. Oh, here it is. It says that David's heart was ardent after God. He hungered and he thirsted after God, and so that he sought God early before daylight. The bed and sleep could not chain his soul, and it is eagerness after God. So basically what Ian Bounds was saying there, and that was kind of hard to read, was that David was a man after God's own heart, and he constantly prayed, constantly sought God day in and day out. Charles Spurgeon was another one of those guys that, you know, powerful preacher. He did a devotional, I think it's evening and morning. No, morning and evening, I'm sorry. And it's just basically devotionals around scripture, but also like prayer devotionals. You know, so prayer is important is what I guess what I'm getting at.
Most people only pray once for their certain needs, and then whenever God fulfills that need, they just quit praying, and then the thing happens again, and then they're asking God, why is he doing this to them? And I mean, that's pretty much
the somewhat he's saying. I think what you're getting at is people only come to God
when
they need him,
when
God wants them.
Right.
R.C. Sproul said it best, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have the quote in front of me. We want God and his toys, but we don't want God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want everything he's about. We just
we
don't
want his creation and everything, but not him.
But not him. Yeah. And that's horrible.
That's the truth of most people, though.
Yeah. So now I want to take a look at the third episode we did on the awareness of false prayer. Now, this was a follow-up to the most popular episode, What Does Amen Mean, which we'll get back to that in a second. So the awareness of false prayer. How do you view prayer as being false?
I don't really know how to go more in detail.
Yeah. So basically, false prayer would be, if you ever heard the term exegesis and eisegesis. Exegesis is taking scripture and expounding on it as it is written and as it is supposed to be prescribed. Eisegesis is, Lord, I pray that I, you know, and I'm so happy that I brought people to Christ. I'm so happy I, yada, yada, yada. And then they put an amen behind it. Okay. So that would be a sign of false prayer. So you're looking at exegesis, and this is dealing with scripture, but then you're looking at eisegesis, and that's the best way I could describe it right now. So the eisegesis is the selfishness that we get caught up in, and it's the whole idea of, it's all about me. You know, Joel Osteen preaches about, you know, living your best life now. You know, so what is false prayer?
Take a voodoo person, they could be like, oh, this juju, and
juju.
I don't know. All right, juju sauce, whatever, and then they just pray over you, and then you have this some type of curse. So as I was thinking over what does false prayer mean, whenever I went to Bourbon for the mission trip, they had like false preachers that was there. I seen this one preacher that was in the bar, and then he was like, hey, can I pray for you? So that, I mean, I think that's a false a false
prayer.
Robert.
False prayer to me is, how should I put it the best way? False prayer is not a true from the heart to God. You're not asking truly what you really want. You're just saying something really quick and saying amen. It's not true. You're not truly meaning it. Also, another false prayer would be, for instance, Creflo Dollar. Mm-hmm. When he talks about, I will anoint your money, put your money up here, I will anoint it. Because if you sow your money, you will return it back. He took it straight out of scripture incorrectly. And what he explained earlier about exegesis and eisegesis, he took it way out of text and made it seem to his church congregation that if you give me money, I will anoint it and I will pray upon it. That's a false prayer. It's not real.
Yeah, that reminds me of Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 through 9, where it says that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teachings as doctrines or precepts of men. Let me actually go to the actual Bible because I looked it up on the phone and I don't like the way that read.
15, 8 through 9?
Yes. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. When you get there, say word. Word.
Here we go. I do what?
15, 8 through 9. And for my listeners, I am reading from the English Standard Version, known as the ESV.
Word.
All right, we're going to stand for the reading of God's word. No, I'm joking.
It is the gospel.
It is the gospel. All right, so it says that this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teachings as doctrines, the commandments of men. Creflo Dollar falls into that category. Yes, we're going to put God on it, but he's not really worshiping God. He's all about self. And you're right, Robert, with the whole I'm anoint your money, bring it up here, put it on the altar. First of all, you, as a human, let me not go there because that's going to be hostile.
No, so don't get hostile. Let's just put exactly what it states in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart.
Right.
Like I said earlier, it's your direct connection to God. Your a false prayer is something that you don't really mean. You're not meaning it from the heart.
Keep in mind, if we do corporate prayer, now corporate prayer is, for example, the four of us, if Jessica, who will say five, the five of us get together and we pray.
Like a congregation.
Like a congregation. And let's say I ask Tim to pray, and, you know, we all know Tim, you stumble on your words, but you tend to, now I'm making this up for my listeners. So you're not praying what you want to pray. You're praying something that's
what everybody else wants to hear.
What everybody else wants to hear. You're not praying from the heart. So that would be that. I consider that a false prayer as well, because again, that's not on your heart. You know, if you pray what's on your heart, it could be good. It could be bad. You could be asking, you know, Lord, look, I'm coming to you humble, broken, you know, sinful man. I struggle with this, yada, yada, yada. Forgive me of my sins. And then you go into your prayer. That's from the heart. That would be considered a true prayer. But if you get up there and say, you know, something like, you know, it's a, you heard a good sermon from Creflo Dollar and you were asked to close in prayer, and you get up there and you start talking about, you know, blessings come from the Lord and he anoints our, you know, everyday blessings and yada, which he does. But that makes the people, that's not the gospel. You know, that's not the gospel people need to hear. So that there, you know, that prayer is fake, and you'll oftentimes find me not saying amen to something I don't feel comfortable with. And that's just how I am, as far as that one goes.
That makes sense.
So, any other comments on that one?
Mm-mm. Pass.
Pass. All right. Now, the next episode we did, which is the most popular episode of season one, episode four, with Reverend Dr. Matthew Everhart, the title was "What Does Amen Mean?"
This is gonna be fun, y'all. Who gets to go first, Brandon?
Nope, not me.
I said, who gets to go first?
The podcast.
I know.
No. Here, you know what? Let the Lutheran answer that one.
Ugh, Lutheran.
All right. Amen. What does amen mean? That's the question, correct?
Correct.
All right. So this is going to go a lot of ways because, ooh, listeners, prepare to be listened on. Anyways. Okay. Amen, in my personal opinion, means an acknowledgement / closing. So at the end of any prayer, you always say amen. That means you're closing a prayer. It's kind of like when you put periods at the end of sentences. Mm-hmm. Amen would be considered like a period. You're ending a sentence. You can't just say, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day, period. You know, that wouldn't sound good in a prayer, right?
So right.
Amen would be the better performance of an ending of a prayer. and then the other part, I believe it is also the ending of a prayer and the acknowledgement. Wait, what did I say? The ending of a prayer.
Did you mean to say agreement?
No, what did I say?
You said the ending of a prayer and acknowledgement. I don't know what you meant by acknowledgement.
Oh, ending of a prayer and acknowledgement. Acknowledging that you have, I guess, made contact with God and you are telling him what you wanted or what you prayed for, and you're acknowledging it by ending it. Again, we're saying amen. You're acknowledging. He's not going to, you know, you're not going to hear him say,
amen, Robert.
You know, some people do hear him. Some people don't.
Potato, potato, you know.
But amen, again, to me, is the closing of a prayer and acknowledging the end of the prayer.
Okay. Timothy?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, looking at the Westminster Confession, Charter Catechism question number 107, the question that's risen in here is, what does the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teach us? And the answer is, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, and then we obviously say amen, teaches us that to be encouraged only by God in our prayers and to praise him by acknowledging the kingdom, power, glory, that all those things are his. And Robert is getting antsy over here. So to show that we want to be heard and have confidence that we are, we say amen. And I'm going to pause there and let Robert go before he blows up.
Oh, you just stated something that just blew my mind. It says it's to give honor and glory to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the highest thing we can give God's glory? By saying what?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why don't we end prayer in hallelujah? Well, why do we have to say amen?
Well, if you would listen to...
Some people say amen, hallelujah.
Some do.
Hallelujah, but the most common is just amen.
Because that's how they the meaning of the word. You know, that's the conclusion.
You're right. Well, why not hallelujah?
I'm okay with that. But again, it has to be a truthful prayer.
You're right.
You know, but amen, if you would listen to the podcast, which I highly urge you to do so. I think Dr. Everhard does a good job at explaining why we close with amen. And
can
then
you recall?
I'm trying to find the part in the podcast where he talks about it. And I was going to play that back, but I can't find it. Matt said this. He said... when we say amen, or this is him, he says, when we say amen, we act like the fact that it adds our assurance to be heard. So that amen is the assurance of being heard. Okay. Yes, amen also means so be it. So basically.
In his will in his, be done.
So be it.
His will be done.
Right. So if I'm praying for forgiveness, you know, Father, forgive me of this sin, so be it. It's now no longer yours. It's out of your hands. It's in his hands. If we're praying for somebody that has cancer and we're praying that God heals them, and if we say, let your will be done, Father, if you take this person from us, you know, it's your will, amen, so be it. You know, we're in a sense giving God what's his.
The power and glory are yours now and forever. So be it.
So be it.
Yeah.
That's the reform.
Makes sense now.
Right. So looking at Timothy, do me a favor. Go look up Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4. And then Robert, you look up 7 through 9, still in Deuteronomy. And I'll look up 16 through 19. So, and while doing that, Matt does... What he
Deuteronomy chapter 7?
Chapter 9.
Oh, chapter 9, verse 7.
Verse 7. He's going to have verse 4. You'll have 7 through 9, and I'll have 16 through 19.
When you word.
Get, word. Hey, there you go. Go ahead and read it for us.
Do not say in your heart after the Lord your God has thrust them.
Wait, what chapter are you on?
I'm on Deuteronomy 9.
Chapter 9?
Mm-hmm. Chapter 9, verse 4.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do not say it in your heart after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you. It is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in the possess this land. Where ours?
Whereas.
Whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you.
Okay.
I used the ESV as well.
Robert.
Mine will be chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to his place, you have been rebellious against the Lord.
even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he was ready to destroy you. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord made with you, I remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water.
So be it.
All right, 16 through 19.
It says, and I look and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made yourself a golden calf. Now, I'm going to stop there real quick. And I'll say this passage is in there because, sorry, Robert's going off again. Okay, so the golden calf is in there because they so-called replaced God. So their amen went to that golden calf. And it did not stay with the Almighty God. Go ahead.
Actually, the supervisor off in the distance, Jessica, my girlfriend, sent me a text message just now saying that amen is another way of giving him glory, which we already covered. And we're also saying that he is my savior.
That's acknowledgement. Yeah, absolutely. Good job, supervisor.
You get an A+.
Okay, and I'm going to jump down to 18. I'm going to say, then I lay prostrate before the Lord as before 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all of my sins that you have committed. So basically, I just lost my word. Fasting, okay, is another way for the person to lament their sin. But after that fasting time, that amen should be so powerful that God gets all the glory. He gets the final amen. And that's one of my direct quotes that I said that, you know, he gets the final amen.
His final amen would be granting whatever your prayer was.
Correct. And then something else that I wrote down that Matt stated was that basically when you're saying amen, you're ascribing power, kingdom, and glory to him, testifying our desires to be heard. That was Matt's version of the meaning of amen. I would go to the larger catechism question. You know what? I will, since I'm already here. Okay. So the larger catechism question is the same thing. It's just, it adds more meat to it. In the answer, there's a part that says, and that to our prayers should be added praise, which recognizes God alone as eternal, sovereign, omnipotent, and glorious excellence. So.
Acknowledging his glory.
Right. And then Matt goes into like the whole Hebrew meaning of the word amen, which sounds like Jamaican amon. Let's see. Table Talk Magazine, because that's where we got most of our questions from. If you look at this article, it looks like a rainbow. All right. So the part that I wanted to share with y'all is that saying amen assures you understand that you are aware that you are affirming in worship. So if I close with a prayer and I say amen and everybody says amen with me, then you are affirming together with me in worship. You, in a sense, agree with my prayer, with what I said. Now, again,
acknowledgement, like I said.
Right. So if I say something that's not biblical and I say amen, but you guys don't.
Can we say no amen?
Just say oh me.
No, so not be done.
Just say oh me.
Robert, that would be you. You are the jerk.
I do have something.
Go ahead.
So you say that you're preaching to your congregation, and then you finish the sentence, and then you'd be like, can somebody say amen? How would you put that?
It all depends on how the text is properly exegeted.
Like the false prayer before we talked about.
Right. You know, if now... And I'm not putting all my hope in a man, you know, preaching, because men make mistakes. But for example, we're going to use Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler is powerful with his preaching. So if he got up and said something, 9 out of 10, I'm going to agree with what he said,
right,
but I'm going to listen to him. But if he says, can I get an amen? Then I'm going to yell amen. Now, if Joel Osteen got up and made a comment and said, you know, we need to live our best life. Can somebody say amen? I'm not saying nothing. other than I rebuke you because that is not what the gospel teaches. Right. To err on the side of caution, we have to be careful with just blurting out amen after every prayer. You know, I try to be a very analytical person. I'm not very good at it, but I try to be. And I try to listen to words as closely as I can and use their true meanings. You know, and again, I'm not just going to say amen to something that I don't agree with. That would just be ignorant on my part.
Right.
All right, so after that episode, we moving on to episode number 5, Pray Like This. And that was done with Reverend Brian Rhodes. Now, where do you think he got that title from, Pray Like This?
From the Lord's Prayer.
Wow, she got it right.
I wasn't going to say that, but I was going to say from Christ.
Well, yeah, Christ said it. Christ, that is one of the prescriptions that Christ gave us on how to pray. So yes. Good job, Emily. How did you know that?
I learned that just like that's yeah. Okay.
That was out of this world laugh.
No, that's just something that, you know, it says in the Bible that Jesus taught them to pray this prayer like this. So that's yeah,
because it does state he taught his disciples to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we start saying the prayer.
Right. And then one of the questions that Brian and I tackled was, how do we pray like Jesus? And then obviously we're going to point to, I think it's Matthew 6. Can somebody check me on that one?
It's Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 through 10.
Okay, perfect. All right. So Brian does a fantastic job at breaking down the Lord's Prayer line by line in its meaning. And Brian, what?
Probably like this.
So Brian says that, you know, one of his greatest struggles is knowing God as he is rather than wanting us to make an image of him. So what's that? I think it was a meme. Something about Jesus being my best friend or my homie or something like that. I can't remember what it was. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm. I was thinking of something else.
No. No. Absolutely no. But there's a meme that's floating around. I have to go find it. But it talks about like Jesus being my homie or whatever. Well, you know, we kind of got to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. You know? Jesus came to die for our sins. I don't think he came to be our homie. You know, he came to save us from the wrath of the Father.
Not because, like, if you don't do what he, like, made you to do, then at the end of time, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. So, like, you can't just think of him as, like, you're my homie. Like, I can do whatever I want with you or whatever. You have to think of him as your savior and how, you know, yeah.
Instead of pals, put gals, because I'm out.
Mic drop. Okay, so Robert, can you go pull up Isaiah 43, 25? You know where that's at?
In the Bible.
Where in the Bible?
You know, there's 66 books, so it's one of those 66 books.
In Isaiah.
It was, what was it?
43:25.
Yeah, I'm in Isaiah. 43:25?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
43:25. I am there, sir. Word.
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 Oh, would you like me to read it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am also reading out of the ESV. I'm he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins.
So what does the Lord Prayer, how does that go?
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespassers as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so I also talk about trespasses and whatnot too.
What do you got, Emily?
That's something for a different conversation. Keep going.
You're talking about the Catholic version of the Lord's Prayer versus...
You say forget trespassers, right?
Can I just say what we say? Like,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay. What's the last sentence you said?
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.
We don't have that.
Okay. I'm not going to speak on that because I don't know. But we talked about it earlier on what does amen mean. So we're ascribing. Hold on. Let me go back to it because I want to get
it. His glory, right. His righteousness.
Yeah. Like we say amen at the end of it, just not what, like not the.
We're ascribing power, kingdom, and glory to him, testifying our desires to be heard. So Matthew 6, you going back to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it says, chapter 6, verse 14 says, all right, I'm just going to read straight out of the Bible.
Say yeah. That, like, in the Catholic Church, they have that last sentence in some prayer, but it's not in the Lord's Prayer.
Hey, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be right back after the break.
Hi, Brandon. Thank you for allowing me to have your listeners' ears for a moment. So everyone, my name is Tamika Smith, and I have some exciting news to share with you. This summer, I am going to be going on my first mission trip. My first time out of the country with a team of people who love God and want to share the gospel to Uganda. While we're there, we are going to be feeding daily hundreds of people that are in the villages. We're going to be performing dramas and skits at the orphanages. So for each missionary that's going, we have to raise a total of $2,600, and I'm halfway there. So how can you be a part of this? I want you guys to pray for me. Pray for our travel to Uganda and also back to the States. Not just praying for us, if you have the heart to donate and to give, I would be so just elated. So how can you donate to this trip to help me to preach the gospel for the first time in another country? Well, there's two things that you can do. If you want to give to my GoFundMe, you can follow me on Instagram at Meek Release. On Instagram, MIKKRELEASE, Meek Release. And my GoFundMe link is in my bio. Or another easy way to give is Cash App, which almost everyone has now. The Cash App sign, of course, Mika on a Mission. Mika on a Mission. MIKAONAMISSION. Mika on a Mission. I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good day.
Hey guys, I'm glad you stuck around. Now let's get back to the conversation.
Chapter 6, verse 9 says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Turn the page. You will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Okay. Tim?
This is probably like off topic, but in ANA, why do they say the prayer?
What's ANA?
Alcoholic Anonymous.
You mean AA?
Yeah, AA.
ANA. That sounds like a tow truck.
My bad.
Why they say the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
I am not an alcoholic and I don't attend those classes, but I'm pretty sure.
They're asking God for strength.
Yeah, that.
To help them through their demons.
Yeah, I could get the answer to that, but I'm pretty sure it's to bring them back to the right path. You have an answer
to that? I do like. I don't have an answer, but they do finish it out with the whole scripture.
Like we do.
Right. Instead of amen.
Okay. Yeah. The Lord, I wish I had the history in front of me on why we added, I don't want to say added, but why we say more with the Lord's Prayer. But out of the Bible, we were talking about doing, what was I getting at? Oh. debts and debtors are trespasses and trespassing, whatever. We're to pray for the forgiveness of our sins, and we also need to pray for the enemy, you know, our enemies and whatnot. So Jesus is spot on when he tells his disciples that if he, what does it say again in 14? Robert.
Verse 14.
Yeah.
Says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses," which again we do say it in the Lord's Prayer as Lutherans, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
Right. So Jesus was spot on. Jesus came to teach us that yes, we have enemies, but we need to pray for our enemies, and we need to forgive them of their trespasses or their sin as well. So, let's see. How else are we ought to pray? Yes, sir.
I was just looking at the note, and it says, "Is it okay to pray in public?"
Is it?
I think it's totally fine with it. I mean, I do it.
Do you know any instance in the Bibles where, in the Bible where a Pharisee prayed in public, and what happened?
Stoned or something? No.
That Pharisee went to the temple and prayed out loud that I'm paraphrasing, so please don't throw rocks at my window.
Shame you.
Tisk tisk.
The Pharisee went and prayed out loud, you know, "Thank God I'm not like these men," boastfully praying.
Right.
But then you had this guy that was like literally covering himself in ashes and sackcloth, and he's like off in the corner just lamenting that God would, you know, forgive something of him so he can be closer to God. So you see the difference there? Yes, it's okay to pray in public, but let's not be boastful with it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to the next episode. Episode number 6 says, "Does prayer change things?"
I believe that prayer does change things because your past. That's why we have a testimony, because of your past. Because you pray for certain things, saying, "God, I don't want my past to affect me to what you have for me coming up." And because, you know, you hold the keys.
Okay. So I know where you're going, but I'm not quite understanding. We all have a past, and prayer cannot change the past. Okay. So you're saying that because of our past, when we pray to be better, we turn from those ways, or we trend, like,
I mean, whenever I was trying to get out of a situation, I was like, "God, I don't want to be like how I am right now. So please change the inside of me and put me on a straight path."
Gotcha. But don't you think God uses your past, if you will, for his glory?
Well, yeah.
Just wanted to make sure you were in line with that. Okay, so Robert, does prayer change things?
Yes, it does. I think in that episode, I did speak on it, and I said, I spoke about, I believe it was my ex, and after that whole thing went down, I prayed. Also, I lost my job, and I had basically a down spiral, and I prayed and prayed that he would bring something into my life that would help me, and he did. Brandon's always been my friend. He's been my friend 4 or 5 years now, I think, 4 or 5, one of the two.
Something like that.
Long time. But I did pray, and it did change a lot due to the fact that he brought me back in, I guess, back to him more, because there in that relationship with my ex, he wasn't allowed in there. And I think, again, I spoke about it. And I prayed to him and asked for something to help me. I want to grow. I'm struggling. I need help. God, help me, help me. And he brought Brandon back in my life, and he brought me to bring me closer back to God. Which, again, it did change my life. So prayer does change.
Okay. So can prayer change the will of God?
No.
Or can it change God's mind?
No.
Okay.
Because he already knows the past, the present, and the future.
So what's the point of praying?
Again, I explained it earlier. The reason to pray is because God wants to know in your daily life what's going on. He wants to know.
But he already knows.
You're right. He does.
But he wants to have that relationship with you.
You're right. A relationship. But I was going to say something else. He wants to know that you know. He knows the future. You got to remember that. but he wants to know that you are following that path. Because again, that free choice we have, he wants to make sure you're still following that path. He already knows what you're going to do, but he wants to hear it from you personally.
Okay, because I was going to say, well, a prodigal son didn't follow the path that was laid out for him. But yet God used that turbulent time in his life for his glory, and then brought him back to his earthly father. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then that I look at that as a parallel to Peter, when Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Mm-hmm. Okay, but he says boastfully, I will never deny you. I will die for you. But yet, before the rooster crowed, he denied Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I don't want to kick Peter 3 times for doing that, because, you know, we do it too. But then Jesus came back and Jesus restored him by using 3 different meanings of the word love. And I'm going to muck this up, but you got that. Yeah, I'm going to muck it up. So I can't remember the 2 Greek words that we use, but the 3rd Greek word was agape love. That's that affectionate, you know, like you and I, Robert, we have that agape love. You know, we're not affectionate, but we're close friends. We know a good bit about each other. Same with Timothy. Emily, sorry, you don't, but I'm sorry, I had to. So, but Timothy, and I'm going to muck it up, so I can't go there. So, yeah.
He really wants to say it, but he's scared to.
Just say it.
Yeah. No, I'm going to mess it up, and I don't want to. So, anyway, I like Shane. Whenever Shane Folks and I did this episode together, and I remember he said that our prayer are not like sticks that actually hit God's, like God's mind. Think of God's mind as a ball. And our prayers are like sticks. And we're sitting there, you know, just hitting the ball back and forth, or hitting God's mind back and forth to get what we want. That's not what prayer does. You know, yes, prayer changes things in the sense of, because of his glory and his will be done, we pray for these things and we see change in our lives. But that was God's will all the time, which we don't see God's will all the time. We see it, and we see it in a sense, correction, let me reword that. We see God's will, but we don't know God's will. We don't know the mind of God.
No, we can't fathom it.
Right. Let's see. Shane said something else. Shane stated that, you know, prayer can change our understanding, mind, and our heart, along with our spiritual fortitude. That's what Shane said. So does prayer change things? Yes. Does prayer change the mind of God? No. All right, moving on. We're going to skip episode 7, because episode 7 was more like a prayer and philosophy, you know, how the two go together, and is prayer considered a type of philosophy and whatnot?
Yeah, I don't do philosophy.
Jesus did philosophy.
He was a smart man, too.
Right? Okay, all right. So moving on to episode 8, when and where should we pray?
Anytime, all time, and every time. And anywhere.
That just sums it all up. Whenever you feel the need, well, okay, that could go 2 ways.
Yeah. Because that can go back to, oh, it's only when you want it.
Yeah.
Right, because 1 Thessalonians 5:17 states that we ought to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. As I said, all the time, everywhere, all times, anytime, doesn't matter.
You know, should you pray with your spouse?
Yes.
Okay. Should you pray with your children?
Yes.
With your congregation?
Yes. Friends, family, everybody.
Okay.
Even for the non-believers.
Where 2 or more are gathered, he will be there.
All right. So, episode 9.
That was a quick recap on that one.
To whom should I pray and why?
Yeah, Tim.
So, be careful how we answer this one.
Go ahead, Tim.
To whom should we pray?
And why?
And why?
What do you think? Not what it says there. What do you think?
No, I'm thinking. I was going to say, I remember whenever Brandon was posting the poll, I said something. I can't forget, like, remember what I said. But we should pray to God because,
Why?
I mean, he's our Father. And we've been saying this the whole podcast, that he wants to know what's going on. And he wants to be in your life. I mean, maybe you don't have a personal Father, but he's our spiritual Father.
Amen. This is touch my heart. You mean an earthly Father?
Yes.
You know what I mean, man. Stop that stuff. Okay. So.
All right.
Robert.
Who should we pray to and why? Mine is Jesus. You pray to Jesus. Because, again, Jesus does state in the Bible, no man comes to the Father except through who?
Me.
Through him. So you pray to Jesus. Yes, Jesus is God. We are aware of this.
I already think you know where to go with it. The Trinity. I understand. They're all the same, all three.
Okay. I'm not disputing what you're saying about praying to Jesus, but even Jesus tells us to pray to the Father.
You're right. You're right, 100%.
Now, you said that no one can get to the Father except through Christ. Absolutely.
Yes, and then some people will argue the point that that means for salvation, which is true. But also, I believe it would be for prayer, too. Because if you're a sinner, you can't get to God. You can't speak to him. No sin will get to him. It's impossible. So you have to go through Christ. That's the salvation side. That's when that comes into play.
Okay.
Now, I look at it as you got to pray to Christ, too, because, again, how he states. But, again, it could be both ways on the spectrum on that. It could be for prayer or it could be for salvation.
Okay, Emily.
So,
you have something?
Yeah.
I just want you to help.
Oh.
I don't
help.
I don't think he was done.
Go ahead. You have something else?
Yeah, in the why part. Because again, Christ did a lot on earth too. He had the power of God. Yeah, remember, he was God in the flesh. He was on earth. All right. Yes, God is immaculate. He's amazing. He's out of this world. He's God. He's the Almighty. But again, Christ can also do the same thing as God can.
Then you're saying that Christ is interceding.
Yes.
On our behalf.
Yes, which he can.
Which he does.
Yes, can, does, same thing.
Okay.
He's like the intern of God.
Intern?
He's like the secretary of God. No.
What?
I don't know.
This is going left. All right. So I'm not disputing that, you know, you shouldn't pray to Jesus. I'm not saying that. But
I'm not gonna lie, when I start my prayers, I always say, Dear Heavenly Father.
Right.
And at the end though, I say, in Lord Jesus Christ's name I pray that your will be done. Amen.
That's what I was getting at. So
I pray to both, but I end it with Christ though.
So I open it by delivering it to the Father.
Yeah.
Okay, and I seal it with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I ask the Holy Spirit to intercede on my behalf because I don't know what I'm doing,
you know,
to deliver that prayer.
I like that. That, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, he said what I was trying to say. I just didn't put it out that way.
Timothy.
Okay, so what if you start a prayer by saying, God, we thank you, and then say your prayer, and then in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, yeah, you would want to seal it with Jesus' name. You know, and I just said that. So you pray to the Father.
Right.
You know, he's the giver of all things,
right,
including Christ. He gives us Christ freely. He gives us grace freely. So you open and you pray to the Father, and then you seal it with the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, in Jesus' name. You know, and then I ask that the Holy Spirit will intercede on my behalf. You know, like, make sure that prayer gets there because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a sinful person. You know, I'm praying this prayer, but I want to make sure, you know, that it gets there. So you're praying, like, you know, What?
My girlfriend, the supervisor's over here messaging me, sending me hints of, not hints, but questions. She goes, why we open it one way and end it in another? Why open it with Dear Heavenly Father and end it in Lord Jesus Christ?
I never said you couldn't.
You could end it with God, just, you know, in your Heavenly Father's name I pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, there's no.
There is no set in stone what it has to be.
Right, right. I just like, you know.
Am I good supervisor or am I fired?
So a lot of people get, you know, and I'm not.
So I guess basically what I was trying to say is when I say pray to Christ, I look at the ending part because I end it with Christ.
Right.
So I'm looking as I'm asking Christ to fulfill what I'm asking, even though it's going to be God because it's his will. And we all know Christ is God. So basically I am praying to God. So Tim got it. You pray to God. You got me, Tim.
All right. I got it for once.
So, all right, episode 10. And episode 10 was kind of a straight off, so there's no real.
What was it about, if I can ask?
It says, I pray, but I really don't
like to pray.
Like to pray.
Okay, and this one was done with my buddy Bo Kyle out of Meridian, Mississippi. He's actually out of Welsh, Louisiana, but he's an assistant pastor at First Pres in Meridian, Mississippi. And Bo poured his heart out to us. Basically, you know, he was going through a rough patch where he just didn't want to pray, didn't like to pray. And we talked about it earlier that we get caught up in everyday life, you know, and we tend to drift away from what, you know, we're supposed to.
Did he bring up the point, are we commanded to pray every day?
Yeah, actually he did.
And what was his answer?
No, he brought that up.
Oh,
he.
What was your answer?
I agreed, obviously. I mean, I'm TR, which means truly reformed. If you were Presbyterian, you would know what that means. Anyway, that was a joke. Supposed to laugh.
Don't worry, we'll wait.
6 hours later. Emily, while he's looking that up, it's going to take about 15 minutes. Do you get like times when you just don't want to pray?
Yes, I have.
We know Robert does.
Word.
I do too.
Word.
Go ahead.
And to answer your question, I do too. I don't feel like praying sometimes. All right, word. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with the groanings too deep for words.
So, that's when the Holy Spirit in us delivers our prayer.
Or kind of commands us.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at earlier when I said, you know, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf.
Or like the late Billy Graham stated, who is Jesus? If y'all ever watch on YouTube, it's a very good video. It's one of my favorite videos. I will watch that 40,000 times in a day. You can ask these two. I replay that video over and over and over again. I love that video. But he says it the best, Billy Graham, that Jesus is everywhere. You can't run from him. You can't hide from him. And whenever you do sin, it eats away at you. So basically, he indulges you, or kind of basically commands you to pray.
That was the ice maker.
Oh, it scared me. I was like, look, he's talking right now. But basically, when you do commit a sin, Christ basically commands you to pray for that sin or to confess that sin.
Right. So, Bo, like toward the end of our podcast, Bo stated that if we confess, that's a moment of prayer. Mm-hmm. Just by confessing our sins, that's a moment of prayer. Then he said, and I think one of the most important parts of prayer is confession. And that's when we need the Holy Spirit. Now, you always say this, and I agree with you 100%, Robert, that, and it's also in the Bible, that when you sin and you immediately feel bad about it and you immediately ask for the forgiveness of God, that's the Holy Spirit, of course, working through you, interceding on your behalf, you know, hey, you
not, not only that, it's sin. It's like the best way to put it. It's like darkness in a light room.
Correct.
It can't make the light go away. Never will. And the darkness comes in, and it's kind of like, I look at it, it's kind of sound funny. The listeners might be like, ha, 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 the Lutheran's weird. But anyways, I look at it as God is something that's amazing, wonderful, beautiful, holy, magical, loving, caring, great, this warmth, everything. Sin is this dark, evil thing that when it touches it, it goes, you know what I mean? It goes, and it starts
fire.
Like that, or it melts, and it just sizzles and pops, and it can't touch it. It's impossible. Right. That's how I see it as. And like you said, the Holy Spirit, that holiness right there is basically trying to touch it. And it's like, nope, you got to go.
Right.
Bye-bye. And that's when you confess, because it's sitting there just like acid. I don't know.
No, it makes sense. And now,
it's not being lukewarm.
One of the things that I want to close with
is, it doesn't mix.
We did 10 solid episodes on prayer. Okay. And Robert said this earlier. How can you have so many episodes on prayer? Well, you'd be surprised. Prayer is a very... I don't want to say complex thing, but it's a very important part of the Christian faith. You know, it's something that we should do daily. I'm going to open it up for you guys to, and gal, to add your comments, if you will, if you want the listeners to know anything or be encouraged to do anything.
Spoiler alert, next episode is going to be about a pen. No, I'm kidding.
No, it will not. Timothy? Any wise words of wisdom? I'm sorry.
You're starting to sound like me. Not knowing how to talk. It's just whenever your seasons gets dry and confused, just put your trust in God and just go back on the episodes of why we should pray. That's pretty much all I have.
Amen. And Emily has something to say.
So whenever like you're going through something and everything, and you know that like you just don't feel like praying, those times where you just don't feel like praying, well, like, and you just feel like you don't want to talk to God because you might be mad at him, or like, why is this happening to me, blah blah blah, these different feelings that we feel, and then you go to pray to him and you feel so much better afterwards, like, that just tells you that even through your times of despair and everything, that he really was there. And you just need to keep on thinking that way so that whenever the other discouraging times in your life happen, you'll keep thinking, like, okay, he is there, instead of going away from that and being, you know, just discouraged all the time.
Amen. Yeah, I'll say that, you know, our prayer lives need to be enriched and enlightened, and our prayer lives need to mimic our lives. You know, how we live. I mean, Robert and I fight all the time.
No, we don't.
Behind closed doors. Yeah, we do.
Amen.
I don't know what he's talking about. No, we don't. We really don't.
Okay, let me rephrase that. We argue about theological topics a lot.
And we should get it on the podcast one day.
So one of the things that I like about doing the podcasting is that I'm able to share how I feel about what?
I was waiting for my comments. I didn't get to say my comments yet.
I was going
to... Oh, we're going around the intro. We're going around the table.
Got they it. Just...
Yeah, see, we just fought. But anyway.
That's not a fight. It's a discussion.
Our prayer life, my prayer life, I'm speaking from the heart now. This is something I need to do, and I need to get stronger at it, better at it. I need to do it more often. You know, I love prayer. I read books about prayer. I did a whole podcast series on prayer. So, yeah, prayer is important, guys, and we need to do it. Robert.
My only words of wisdom for our listeners is that, remember, ladies and gentlemen that's listening, God loves you. He loves you even if you think you don't love him, or if you're mad at him, or if you think he's not happy with you right now. He loves you no matter what. If you pray to him, he wants to hear your prayers. He wants to listen to you. He really does. Like, honest truth, God wants to hear you. Like, you can hear him all the time. Walk outside. That wind blowing, I look at it as that's God talking to you right there. Because God created the wind. He created what you walk on. He gave you life. He can take life. He loves you. And so, like I said, the biggest thing is, if you think he's not listening to you, oh, he is. He is. Again, pray. Pray, 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 pray. I need to get more into it. We all need to get more into it. But again, God loves you that much. He's willing to take. Well, again, he's not a, there's no such thing as time with him. He's not a, what's that word you call it? He's not da-da-da of time.
He's not
da-da-da of time. He's not da-da-da of time.
Subject to time.
Thank you. Subject. Wow. Subject. A small, easy, you know, third grade word. He's not subject to time, but he will take time out of his busy schedule. Because you got to remember, he busy. All right? His busy schedule to listen to your prayer.
Yeah. And I'm going to add to that, because that's really good. I don't want people to get caught up in this idea of, you know, yeah, God ain't listening to me, because when I pray to him, my prayers don't get answered. Get caught up in your prayers not getting answered. Who told you God had to work at your pace?
Pace.
Yeah, pace.
He said paste. I guess he's making donuts up there. Some pastries.
Yeah, God doesn't work at your pace.
Pyres.
You know, he doesn't work on your time. And he doesn't work on my time. He works on his time. His timing is always best.
Yep.
Do not rush him. You can. I'm not going to change anything. And
it's at his will.
If you know, just like Abraham and Sarah, they decided to go against God's perfect timing and they did their own thing. Let's not be like them. Mm-hmm. You know, let's try to pray.
That's where the part of put all your trust into God.
Amen. Trust and faith. Now, the last thing I want to do is I want to go around the table and do a closing prayer, 1 minute or less. But before we do that, I want to let my listeners know that this is the end of season one. We are moving to season two, which is called the season two will be entitled The Beauty of the Local Church. And this is a journal. Actually, it's going to be a journal, published journal. By some pastors and elders of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. And I'm hoping to have them on the podcast next season to discuss their articles that they wrote that will be published in June. So without further ado, we're going to close our eyes, bow our heads, and fall on the floor and pray. I'll start, and I'll ask Robert to close, so we're going to go counterclockwise.
Okay.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father.
Tim wanted to say something real quick.
Apologies. What about the supervisor? Does she want to? No?
No. Right. She's just going to supervise the prayer.
All right. She'll tell us if it made it up there or not.
She's waiting on the email. The text message.
Ding, ding. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to spread the gospel, to preach the gospel to a multitude via podcasting. And I thank you so much that you have given me the voice and the guts to actually do it after wanting to do this for 4 years and just got scared. And Lord, I want you to be glorified, and I want your will to be done. And Lord, if it is your will that this podcast grows and reaches nations, so be it. I pray all these things in the name of you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I just ask for you to bless everybody that's in this house right now and everybody who's listening to this podcast, so that hopefully that through everything that they've learned and have heard and maybe asked, has gotten answers and has had people felt your presence in their lives. And in your name, amen.
Lord, we just thank you for giving us life, giving us your breath, and just waking up and seeing a new day, and giving us the opportunity to spread your word through the podcast, through people that we see and that we encounter with. God, I just pray for Brandon, Robert, and myself, and Emily, and Jessica, and everybody that's listened to this podcast, is that we grow deeper into your word, and we just grow so rich into your love, that whenever people look at us, they see something that's different, and they are wanting to ask us, hey, what do you have that I don't have? And we could just tell them that we just have the love of God. And whenever things get tough, that we just pray, and we just ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for everything that you've done for everybody at this table and across everybody that does podcasts. Father, you're holy, you're mighty, you're amazing, you're loving, you're caring, you're the out of this world. We can't explain you. We have no right. We are given your gift of salvation, a free gift, because you love us that much, even though we don't deserve it, for we are sinners. Father, you've loved us that much that you sent your Son to die for us.
And all God's children say, amen, amen and amen. That is all, folks.
All the time.
I want you. Well, can y'all let me? Like,
we love that one.
Well, let me get to it. Don't just jump in there.
Okay, my bad.
Goodness. Sorry. As I was saying, thank you for listening to season one of The Prayer. And I want you guys to know
that God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
We are the pals.
And gal.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.